Call the House Committee to order for this bright 17th of April, 2013. And I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2065 and ask Joe Coolidge to join us. Where did he go? Oh, there he is.
Scoot it back in the corner back there.
Chair Greenlick, for the record, my name is George O. Coolidge, here on behalf of the Oregon Dental Association, just to speak briefly on the bill in front of you dealing with expungement of dental records. This was an issue that came to Representative Gilliam's attention over the interim. Apparently, he had a dentist who had a disciplinary issue about 15 years ago. This dentist now is an expert witness in civil cases and is constantly getting dismissed. And so his sort of point of introducing the bill was, if you have a dentist who has had a record, at some point, and in this case like 15 years, we need to develop a process for expungement of the records. I told him that the bill itself needed a little bit of work. I know it dealt with sort of the entire criminal picture, but met with him yesterday and said that the Oregon Dental Association would be happy this fall before the 2014 session to sit down with him, sit down with others, the Board of Dentistry, and work out a solution for this issue. So,
George, as you're doing that, you might want to look at the expungement issue of other boards and maybe talk to some other execs and see if we can maybe come up with a kind of policy across the different boards.
No, Chair Greenlick, I think that's a great idea. Actually, I talked to Patrick Bratz earlier today, and he had similar issues to say maybe we should talk to some of the medical board and others to see kind of how they handled the situation. So
okay,
be happy to work on it and come back to you next year.
Thank you for coming to testify.
Sure.
Close the public hearing on House Bill 2065. Just in case any of you are here for work sessions on 2085 and 2928, we are not going to open either of those today, so you can go watch some other committee if you're committed to watching a committee. We have a quorum. We do. We need to open a we need to move a bill to rules. Let me find it.
Yes, I will send you.
Thanks. There it is, 2118. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2118 for the purpose of moving it to rules. And do we have a motion on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2118 to the floor without recommendation and as to passage, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Kenny Geyer moves House Bill 2118 to the floor with no recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion on that? Would you call the roll, please? Absent.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Kinnaman?
Aye.
Representative Whiteley?
Aye.
Representative Whitener?
Absent.
Vice Chair Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Absent.
And Chair Greenlick?
Aye. Motion carries. 2118 is on its way to rules. I think we need to stand at ease for a bit and wait for some more committee members to join us. That's the... Tyler, what's 3082 about, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3082 requires State Board of Education to adopt rules requiring public and private pre-kindergarten through 12 grade schools and residential child care facilities provide fluoride rinse to certain students and children after meals. Requires the Department of Education to solicit names of dentists who provide dental services at no charge to students of low-income families and post names and contact information on the department's website. The Dash Amendment removes references to residential child care facilities.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the Dash Ones?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3-26-13 to House Bill 3082.
Representative Thompson moves the Dash 1 amendments dated 3-26-13 to House Bill 3082. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? Part of 3082. We have a motion on the bill, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3082 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Thompson moves House Bill 3082 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion on House Bill 3082? You call the roll, please.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Conker?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Pinneman?
Aye.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair
Greenberg? Motion carries. House Bill 3082 is on its way to Ways and Means. Close the work session on House Bill 3082. Open up a work session on House Bill 2960. Mr. Administrator, what's that about?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2960 with the Dash 3 amendment requires a portion of each meeting of the governing body of a coordinated care organization be dedicated to taking public comment and announcing and explaining significant decisions made by the governing body. It requires a community advisory council meet at least once every 3 months and the meetings be open and put to the public.
There's an amendment. Is there a motion on the amendment? Dash 3 amendments to 2960.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments dated 4-8-13 to House Bill 2960.
Representative Thompson moves the Dash 3 amendments dated 4-8-13 to House Bill 2960. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
I'm sorry. I did not hear the description of the amendment. I apologize, Mr. Chair.
The amendment is basically the bill. Itself. It takes out the old bill.
And it's the one that we were looking at yesterday.
The one we were looking at here. It's the one that makes the opening of the CACs and the partial opening of the board meetings. It's the one we discussed.
Okay. Thank you.
Any objection to the Dash 3s? Dash 3s are part of 2960. I have a motion on the
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2960 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thompson moves House Bill 2960 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I have been planning to vote no on this bill. I don't know that it's needed. On the other hand, when the chairman says pretty please, I was willing to consent. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, I meant to even saying sugar. Yes, Representative Thompson.
I was a no on this too, but I think testimony plus other things I'm hearing now about lack of transparency in these organizations, I have concerns. I think we need to have a wider discussion on this, but I think we hear testimony here that one of the CCOs is not publicly acknowledging the names of their members. We have a lot of public money tied up in this healthcare system to be running at some level of secrecy. So at least at the committee level, I'm going to err on the side of voting a yes on this bill and reserve the right on the floor to vote no if something changes.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. President Conger?
I feel like the lone voice that hasn't shifted in the last day. I just want to bring up a point because I had not caught up to the amendments yesterday and did not understand the testimony was on the amendments. the Community Advisory Council, the part of the bill that would force the Community Advisory Council meetings to be open is actually a little bit distressing to me. And as I indicated previously when we talked about this, the CCO that I am familiar with in Central Oregon has two Community Advisory Councils, one in the Gorge and one in Bend, almost like operating like two CCOs, but it turns out it's one. Both of them have open meetings routinely, as does the governing board of both of those regions. In the case of the Community Advisory Council, I actually attended a meeting a couple of months ago, and I was very surprised and encouraged to hear some of the community members talking about personal experiences with the healthcare system and with the Oregon Health Plan. They had suggestions, they had things that they had taken away from their interaction both with providers but particularly with the plan, and I thought that was fantastic. It was actually what we hoped for happening. The one thing that bothered me a little bit is those meetings being public, there was clearly protected health information being disclosed. I thought it was very important for the CCOs to be careful and to let people know that those meetings are open and that their protected health information, if they disclose it in that context, is not protected. There's no confidentiality obligation. And interestingly, both of the community advisory councils and the two boards have talked about that, and their conclusion was that occasionally they would like to have closed meetings where there are confidentiality obligations in place so that people feel comfortable talking about those kinds of details that they might not disclose at a public meeting. This bill will prohibit that practice. It is not a huge transformation of their current practice, because as I said, almost all of those meetings are already open to the public. But I think that's actually contrary to what we want to do. And I think that that protected environment to be able to share maybe a little bit more context and personal detail is valuable. So we're eliminating that possibility with this bill. That's a concern to me. The other concern is really related to the opening of a portion of the board meeting and the reporting of things that the board decides. No offense, Mr. Chair, but the drafting is very, very unclear. And I think that should it stay unclear like this, it will invite misunderstanding, which is the kind of circumstance that ends up leading to disputes, where you have people who are already maybe at each other's throats and they look for a reason to look for violations of their understanding of what the law says. I don't think that's prudent. And finally, I apologize for going on, but I wanted to be clearer than yesterday. I think that there probably are some issues that the legislature may need to get involved with, including transparency, by the way. So I understand and support the spirit with which this bill is presented. I don't think that this is necessarily entirely the wrong approach, but I don't think we're quite there yet. There hasn't been enough opportunity for these CCOs to work things out themselves. Some of them will. Some of them might not. I think letting them evolve is more in the spirit of what we tried to do originally with the creation of the CCOs. And I would rather wait and come back to this and see if there is still a need or if we can get a better sense of what might help. So that, therefore, I'll be voting no.
All I can say is if everything, the other 14 were like Ben, we'd have no need for this bill. Mm-hmm. That's really the point.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Widener.
Thank you. I was probably the one vote that was really tightly on the fence when this came about. And then after testimony, I had little concerns that were kind of leaning me towards yes, but I got a chance to meet with some different people, the CCOs, I think it was Dr. Dan Hoffer, some people with him, and I understand some of their concerns, and I understand that we need to make things more transparent. but I think we need to spell it out concisely on what we're going to make transparent and what we're not, because some of the issues that CCOs are going to be dealing with need to be kept confidential. And I worry that we're opening the door for groups that want money from CCOs are going to be in there basically lobbying them for money in these open meetings. So I think there needs to be privacy that's protected in the CCOs as well. So I would like us to step back and just look at this, maybe in the interim come back with a bill in February, and make sure we do this right so we don't hurt any of the conversations that are going on in these early stages right now at this time. So, and I understand the concerns, but I will be in no vote on it. We would have taken the vote yesterday. You know, it's hard telling what I would have done, because that's why you didn't get a response from me when you were wondering where I was at, because I was kind of on the fence on it. But I think we need to spell things out a little better and basically echoing what Representative Conger said. So,
Representative Lively.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's probably nobody here that feels stronger about open meetings and open records than I do. I come from a long background in public service in the communities and really fought on behalf of these kind of measures when I was first elected, and I'm big on transparency. I do not believe, though, this bill adds to that at this particular point, so I cannot, as you know, and I've expressed to you support. I think there are some issues that need to be addressed. They're not having been here when this transition was started and put together. I kind of respect the fact that it's just starting and it's doing that. I live in an area, I think, that our CCO is doing good work and I think does try to be transparent in that. But I don't believe this bill I think it adds confusion, frankly, and is only going to cause problems in the interim, the short term, for the CCOs operating versus clarifying. So I won't be supporting the bill.
I do want to put on the record, there's been some concern that this bill in some form opens up the CCOs to the public meeting law statutes. I want to put on the record that is not the legislative intent, and in fact it does not do that. It refers to a statute other than the public meeting statute, and as soon as it passes now, I'll make that same statement on the floor so there's no confusion about the intent.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
If I understood the statement a few moments ago, it was that there would be not opportunities to discuss patient information at times. If I understand the amendments, it's at each meeting of the governing body of a coordinated care organization, a portion of the meeting is dedicated to taking public comment. This is very restricted. To disclose patient information would be inappropriate, and I don't think this bill, this amendment, as I read it, should have anything to do with inappropriate disclosure. There will be ample times in other ways, in other meetings, and in these meetings at the times they are not open to the public, where they can have those as appropriate discussions. Am I missing something here?
No, I think what happens in the possibility of an open meeting, and we've warned witnesses here as well.
I beg your pardon?
We've warned witnesses here as well, the same thing. I mean, somebody stands up and says, here's what happened when I went to see my doctor. They're making that open to the public. And if that happened in an open meeting, that would be the case. If there was a need for confidential information with the board, there's certainly plenty of time to do that on the board.
Apparently, I need to clarify my remark, if I may.
Please.
I was talking about the Community Advisory Council, which does not have the same language that the governing board does. In the CCO that I'm familiar with, the Community Advisory Council meetings are open to the public, typically, and after hearing people disclosing what was clearly PHI, they
talk. Their own accord.
What's that?
On their own account, right?
On their own account.
Yeah.
I talked to the folks, the chair of the Community Advisory Council and the executive director of the CCO, and I said, you know, you need to probably tell them that is protected and that there's no confidentiality when they're in that room, because it's not always clear the meetings are open to the public. Sometimes the public doesn't show up. It's just the members of the Community Advisory Council. And subsequently, the chair of the Community Advisory Council discussed it with that group, And they concluded that what they might do is have one closed meeting, you know, a year or every 6 months or something, where they will be subject to confidentiality and they can disclose more of those details should they choose to. They can still do it. I mean, the individual can still choose to do it, as you said, in a public meeting. But this is not the board. This is the Community Advisory Council that I'm talking about.
Yeah. Sorry?
Can I comment?
Oh, sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am supporting this bill because I feel that we are dealing with millions, billions of dollars coming through our healthcare system run by these organizations. The part about keeping a portion of every board meeting of the CCOs open to the public and not subject to the public notice laws, I think is a very fair, doesn't add expense. It could be 10 minutes, it could be 20 minutes at the end of a meeting. I think that we owe it to the public whose money we're spending to make sure that there's an opportunity to give direct feedback, not just the one person from the Community Advisory Council that is charged with trying to encapsulate all the public's opinion back to that board. I think that Representative Conger brings up a really good point about the Community Advisory Committees having to have all of their meetings open to the public. I hope this bill goes forward. I think this has been a really rich discussion. I appreciate, also appreciate the bipartisan nature of this discussion. And I thought it was very revealing to see how two different CCOs operate. Frankly, that testimony is partly what made me convinced that we do need some kind of sidebars on this. I hope that it goes forward. I think that having some opportunity to have closed a portion of Community Advisory Council meetings closed and yet a portion of those as well open is a fair thing to discuss. So I will be supporting this bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I guess I'm troubled by Representative Conger's comments, and as I read it, the last sentence in the bill or in the amendment is the council shall meet at least once every 3 months. The meeting must be open to the public. Does that allow for executive privilege at some point? I don't think it does, and I guess I'm having a real problem here, and I'm sorry I didn't do a better job of doing my homework. But it seems to me that part of the function of the advisory council is to talk about events that occur. And I would presume some of those events would be inappropriate or poor treatment or allegations of such, all of which I think would be inappropriate discussion in an open meeting. And I think essential discussion to an advisory group. So, is there a rebuttal to that or something I'm not catching? Because I find that, I mean, the whole purpose of the advisory council is to be advisory. And I would think fundamentally, since it's a healthcare advisory committee, we're going to be talking about the treatment, not the billing practices. I mean, we're going to talk about billing practices. We're going to talk about facilities. We're going to talk about community outreach and all kinds of interesting and important topics. But I also think to do their job, I mean, if I'm a member of a CCO, I think I first try to talk to my provider because that's the direct way. And then if you continue, I think a member of the public should go to the advisory council and should be expecting that they can talk to these people and express their concerns and have these people take it up on their behalf. And I don't see how that could be done legally.
Well, it would seem to me that anything that's that sensitive should be handled on the board meeting and not in the community advisory committee. Now, I mean, who knows what's going on? And we've all been in some pretty wild meetings in various places. But it would seem to me that's where, if something has to be closed and confidential, it ought to take place. But the purpose of the advisory committee is to get some advice to the board.
Okay, and that's where that kind of gets me. I mean, to me, we just need to be a little more descriptive on what's going to happen in this. I love the concept.
We can fool around with this essentially forever. The fact is, we've got to do something because they're forming their norms. They're becoming organized. And some are just not dealing with the ability to have public advice being handled to them. I mean, but it seems to me, if this turns out to be wrong, we can always come back and change it. Let's have the roll call, please.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. As I indicated when we talked the other day, there are some changes I wanted to see to the bill, but I know we're out of time. So I just want to get on the record. Now, it turns out you may not need my vote, but what I was referring to that we chatted about was the switching the language from the portion about the governing body about taking public comment at some period over to the council. So it would not all be open. It would just have a public comment period and then not having any reference at all to the governing body. That's the part that bothers me. It's these private LLCs having their governing body. And it's not the taking public comment part. It's the explaining significant decisions at every single meeting that troubles me. So as I indicated, I'm willing to give the vote, given we have some assurance those amendments will actually be made.
We can talk about things in the Senate. Yeah.
And so what I'll do today, then, is vote for it. I may vote no on the floor if there's no progress made at all between now and the floor vote towards that.
Oh, there isn't going to be any way to have progress between now and the floor vote.
We have a week.
It would have to be when it gets over to the Senate because we can't work out.
We could refer back to rules and do the amendments there.
Oh, yeah.
I think if everyone's in agreement by the time the floor vote happens, you're right. No need to do anything before the Senate. But for me, at least, I'm just trying to give you a heads up. I'll vote for it. But those things we talked about that would be changed need to get at least in principle and maybe in paper change, then amended in the Senate, and then I can vote for it on the floor.
Can we stand at ease?
Yes.
Representative Conger?
No.
Representative Parker?
Yes.
Representative Pinnamer?
No.
Representative Lively?
No.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Kenny Geyer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Yes.
And Chair Greenlee?
Yes. I'll carry it on the floor. Close the work session on House Bill 2960 and open a work session on House Bill 3460. Would you tell us about that bill, Mr. Minister?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3460 requires Board of Health Authority established by rural medical marijuana facility registration system for the transfer of usable marijuana between grow sites and registered identification card holders. It establishes minimum requirements for facility application, location, and security. It requires OHA conduct criminal background checks of facility applicants and refuse registration of responsible individuals prior felony drug conviction. It requires facility to test marijuana for pesticides and mold and mildew. Requires facility receive authorization from registered cardholder prior to receiving marijuana from grow site. It exempts facility from marijuana plant and usable amount limits. It allows OHA to inspect facility and records to ensure compliance. It allows registration card holder to reimburse facility for normal and customary costs of doing business. It requires OHA to notify former facility of registration card holder change of facility and declares an emergency effective on its passage.
Do we have a motion on House Bill 3460, please?
3460. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3460 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
President Kenny Guyer moves House Bill 3460 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I just had a question. I didn't remember any opposition to this bill in our public testimony. There was none, right?
No opposition. Public opposition.
No public opposition anyway. Well, just one quick comment then to follow that up. I'm not sure I understand the best way to deal with the medical marijuana issues. I'm not sure this is it. I'm comfortable with moving it to Ways and Means, but I cannot stand here and say that I think this is the right way to stop movement of marijuana from medical use into the black market. I can't say for sure that I understand the current system well enough to know that this is an improvement. I think it is, but I mean, I don't know. It's a little obscure to me what the right way to regulate this system might be. So, I'm not commenting that for any reason. Certainly not to argue one way or the other. But I just thought I'd throw that out.
Is there any other discussion? Yes.
Well, I'll just say I don't think this is the be-all and end-all. I think there's a long way we have to go in trying to regulate medical marijuana, and it doesn't get at the growers. But I think in terms of distribution, I think certainly the testimony from Tom Chamberlain, whose son was paralyzed and, you know, doesn't know where to get marijuana and doesn't necessarily want to have a relationship with growers, I think this makes a lot of sense. And I think one of the really compelling pieces of this to me was the public health aspect of testing for mold and mildew and pesticides, which apparently is a huge issue. So people have a medical issue, they go to get medical marijuana, and then end up with additional health consequences. So again, I don't think it's the be-all and end-all, but I think it's a really important piece of the puzzle. So I'm in strong support.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I think this is a start. I think we had another bill, Representative Buckley's bill, I was very supportive of because it brought a lot of accountability into the system. This brings a little more accountability into the system, but I hope we look at working with Representative Buckley's bill probably in February to actually implement a lot of the parameters that they had in that bill. There are a lot of sideboards to really track the marijuana, where it's going, who's using it, and to hold actual cardholders accountable for their prescriptions so they didn't get out to the public. Because one of the problems we have in my community is there's guys that are growing this in their backyard, and it's weird, there's not a lot for patients, but there's a lot getting into our school system, and it's very prevalent in the education system right now. And if these kids get caught with it and they could actually trace the marijuana where it came from, would be very powerful in stopping people from selling it to children who don't need it. So
this is Representative Buckley's bill.
You mean his other bill?
His other bill.
Yeah. Yes, Representative Thompson.
I'm going to support this today. I agree with Representative Conger. I've got all kinds of mixed feelings about it, but I think it is our responsibility as a state, if we're going to authorize the use of medical marijuana, which we have done, that we do what we can to ensure a safe quality supply for the people authorized to use it. And we've not done that up to this point. It's been very haphazard. I'm also hoping that getting the Oregon Health Authority involved in some oversight on this system might give us more information on things that we need yet to do. So I see this as a first tiny step toward developing a professional scientific medical marijuana program with lots more work that needs to be done.
Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Kinnear?
No.
Representative Lively?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenny Guyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. House Bill 3460 is on its way to Ways and Means. Close a work session on House Bill 3460. Open a work session on House Bill 3403. Can you tell us what that's about?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 3403, with the Dash 2 amendment, establishes a healthy vending task force to explore current and local state initiatives to promote and evaluate worksite nutrition and explore strategies for increasing the sales of healthy food and beverages and vending machines. It sunsets the task force on the convening of the 2015 regular session of the Legislative Assembly and declares an emergency effect upon its passage.
Representative Kenny Geyer, will you tell us what the Dash 2s do, please?
Yes. This is a friendly gut and stuff of my original bill, which was mandating that we have 100% healthy foods in all public buildings, in the vending machines. This bill came as a result of many people coming forward and having concerns about the bill and saying two sets of concerns. One is that if you really want to help improve the health of public employees and visitors to our public buildings, then it really should be broader than just vending machines. We should look at everything together. And the other concern being that if you make that kind of a change kind of overnight, that the vendors, and particularly the blind vendors and the Commission on the Blind, who have the Business Enterprise Program, could really be adversely affected with their revenue. And so this was partly a result of getting around the table twice with people, the various stakeholders, and saying, how can we meet both of those concerns? How can we make sure that we improve the healthy options in our public buildings? We know that there are some great efforts going on, primarily directed by the Public Employees Benefits Board with their healthy engagement model. We spend an enormous amount of money on health care for our public employees. And yet, how can we do this in a way that really drives has a change in behavior, drives the demand for healthy foods, and doesn't adversely affect the revenue of the blind vendors? So my interest in moving forward with this is that I actually feel very excited, given that Oregon is in the forefront of health transformation, and knowing that there's a national program out there for blind vendors. This is as a result of legislation many decades ago, and every state has this program. I'd love to see us be the best program out there and lead the nation in really having the blind vendors, nonprofits, Oregon Health Authority, PEB, and others really drive up demand and really change behavior and do it in a way that benefits everyone around the table. So this task force is a result of, it's a fairly quick amendment. We had a very quick turnaround. I was able to get feedback from several of the people who are in the room here, Randy Hout, Lana Butterfield, John Powell. Art Johnson gave me some feedback. Some of these names may be familiar to you because they've probably visited you. Gave me some feedback after this amendment came out, and it was that because the relating to clause says relating to vending machines, and this scope is more around the lines of vending machine task force, that his feeling, and I think it's shared by many, is that it really should look more broadly. So you can't really look at just the vending machines and not the kiosks and the cafeterias. Certainly that's the intent, and with this amendment I want to go back and try to add that concept of really broadening it, because I think it meets both those goals, really, healthier foods in public buildings, and making sure that that all of the vendors that are operating in these programs are included in this. So I think there's been good support for it. It's not as mature as I'd like to see it, but I think this is, the start of the legislative process, and I welcome more input, and I really hope you support it, because it's a very exciting direction, I think, for this bill to take. Are there questions from my colleagues?
The bill's not going to Ways and Means, is it?
This one is going to Ways and Means.
This is going to Ways and Means. Are you sure?
Oh, excuse me.
Oregon Health Authority.
We stand at ease for a moment.
Hmm?
We stand at ease.
Stand at ease.
What's happening? Just go on.
Double check real quick. Who the.
please?
So it's, just for clarification, colleagues, it does not have a Ways and Means. Oregon Health Authority thought they could do this within the purview of what they do. And so I am committed to working any amendments that are suggested on the Senate side.
Is there any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it doesn't look like we have anybody here today, so I'd be kind of curious on how much work Art's here for people handling the vending machines. Well, my concern is, I mean, how much effort is this going to be for them to find new suppliers to get some of the material and everything in there when we start going through this, and how much extra burden are we putting on them? Did that come up in any of the conversations, Representative? And I should have asked you this on the floor, and it just popped in my head now.
No, that's okay. You know, there's no mandate in this task force. The idea of the task force would be to look at the nutritional standards, evidence-based nutritional standards that are out there, to look at the kind of programs that already have, either by mandate or voluntarily, moved toward healthier selections. So some jurisdictions have 100%, some have 75%, some have 50%, some have 40%, some have moved there voluntarily, to look at what's worked, what hasn't worked. So really to do this in partnership, as opposed to saying to the vendors, you know, you need to do this. We are coming in with
But this bill doesn't resources. Force anybody to do anything.
Yeah, it's to bring those resources to say, Oregon Health Authority, bring your resources, the nonprofit public health groups who have been looking at this issue and what works and what doesn't work, bring those resources. PEB, Public Employees Benefit Board, has said they would carve out up to $75,000 to put on the table. It's not like we'll just give it to you, but it's for
answers question.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
The question is, nothing in this bill causes anybody to do anything.
Yep.
It's bringing all of those parties together, and the bill labels who the 15 employees, who, what the categories are that would be represented.
Gotcha.
Any other discussion? No. Let's have a motion on the dash two amendments, please.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash two amendments dated 4-15-13 to House Bill 3403.
Representative Kenny Geyer moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 3403, dated 4-15-13. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Is there any objection? Amendments are a part of 3403.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3403 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kenny Geyer moves House Bill 3403 to the floor with a due pass as amended. To the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Would you call the roll, please? Oh, wait a minute. Is there a discussion? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, Representative Kenny Geyer and I got a chance to visit about this. I'm going on the PEB board here soon, so this is of interest to me, and most of the people who work in these buildings here in Salem are my constituents, so that's of interest to me. I'm not totally Bloomberg-esque exactly on everything, but I'm kind of interested in doing something here, so I'm going to vote yes and follow the task force and participate and see what we can do to get my constituents healthier without becoming a nanny state entirely.
Is there a point of order on making up words like that on the fly?
I've noticed in this bill you can make up any word you want.
Strategery.
Coming from Summarize. Representative Conger, who gave us 10 minutes of testimony about nothing.
Uh-oh. Gloves are coming off. Will you call the roll, please?
About me?
Thank you.
I'm disagreeing with you.
Aye.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Pinnemer?
Aye.
Representative Wagner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenwood?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Kenny Geyer, carry it on the floor.
Sure.
All right. Close the work session on House Bill 3403. Open a work session on House Bill 3345. Mr. Minister, what have we got?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3345 requires...
anatomical.
Requires the Oregon Health Authority licensed non-transplant anatomical research recovery organizations require certain records of disclosure of licensed anatomical research recovery organizations. It allows the board to inspect premises and records of the NARROs and assess civil penalties and take action against licensees. It establishes an operative date of January 1st, 2014, and declares an emergency effective on its passage.
And the dash eights?
That is the dash eight.
My understanding the dash eights are a consensus amendment and nobody has any problem with the bill. The dash eights is... Anybody going to shake your head no out there strongly? No, I think everybody's okay with this version. Can I have an amendment? I mean, a motion on the dash eights, please.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash eight amendment stated 4-17-13, House Bill 3345.
Representative Kenny Geyer moves the dash eight amendments to House Bill 3345, dated 4-17-13. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Any objection to the amendment? Dash 8s are a part of House Bill 3345. We have a motion on House Bill 3345.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3345 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kenny Geyer moves Dash Bill 3345 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on House Bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Widener.
This seems to be a bill that comes back over and over for two companies that are here in Oregon, and that we've never had any complaints or issues about them whatsoever, and I just don't really see the need for this. And then we're putting in statute what their annual fee is. There's just a lot of weird things that are going on with this bill, so I don't see the need for it. I'm going to be a no on it.
We have in past sessions have quite a bit of testimony on problems in this area,
but they were education systems that were doing it, and OHSU is not even in this. No, they're part of it.
That's not who the problems came from. The problems came from commercial vendors of body parts, and the work on this was a continuation of the testimony in the last session on this issue. Just to correct the record, we've had significant testimony.
Yeah, no, I remember the testimony.
Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Flynn?
Aye.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Kenmer?
Aye.
Representative Wiley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Kenny Geyer?
Is she gone?
She's gone.
Absent.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Green?
She went to the vending machine.
Motion carries. Is this Representative Hoyle's bill?
Yes.
Representative Hoyle will carry it on the floor. Close the work session on House Bill 3345. Open a work session on 2132, please. Mr. Administrator, what do we got?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2132 with the dash three amendments requires Oregon Health Insurance Exchange, or Cover Oregon, and Oregon Health Authority, including quarterly reports, legislative assembly reports on efforts made to coordinate eligibility determination and enrollment processes for qualified health plans in the state medical assistance program.
And that has the dash three amendments?
That's correct.
There's been a lot of work on this one, and I think everybody is okay with where we are. There is, I think, a small technical amendment that needs to come in the Senate, but it's apparently straightforward and trivial and will be no problem. We have an amendment on a motion on the dash threes.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the dash three amendment dated 4-15-13, House Bill 2132.
Representative Thompson moves the dash three amendment stated 4-15-13 to House Bill 2132. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Is there any objection to the amendments? Amendments are part of 2132. We have a motion on the bill, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2132 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thompson moves House Bill 2132 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Pinnemer?
Aye.
Representative Wiley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenny Geyer?
Absent.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Greenman?
Aye. Motion carries. Whose bill was this?
Interim committees.
Interim committee bill. Somebody want to carry this bill?
Consent calendar.
I'll do it.
I can do it, Mr. Chair. I don't think I've carried any bills from here.
All right, this, great. Representative Conger will carry it.
I'll do my share and take one for the
good
team.
Good job. Help carry the load. Close the work session on House Bill 2132. Open a work session on House Bill 2122. What do we have in this one, Mr. Administrator?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2122 with the House Bill 2122 prohibits transfer of 500 more enrollees from one managed care organization to another MCO in which the provider contracts. If the provider's contract with the transferring organization is terminated for cause and declares emergency effect on its passage, the -7 amendment allows OHA award attorney fees and costs to prevailing party at contested case hearing. The -10 amendments prohibit OHA approving transfer as a result of just cause termination. An OHA received notification of the just cause termination provides providers entitled to contested case hearing dispute the denial of transfer, defines just cause as termination for reasons related to quality of care, competency, fraud, or other similar reasons prescribed by OHA rule.
I do want to comment that the parties on this have worked very hard to get to an amendment they all agree on. And I think that's a good job, good model. Can we have some...
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -7 amendments dated 4/11/13 and the -10 amendments dated 4/15/13 to House Bill 2122.
Representative Thompson moves the -7 amendments dated 4/11/13 and the -10 amendments dated 4/15/13 to House Bill 2122. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Any objection? They're both a part of House Bill 2122. Do we have a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2122 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Thompson moves House Bill 2122 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Plum?
Aye.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Harper?
Aye.
Representative
Whitner? Aye. Representative Whitner? Aye. Vice Chair Finney Geyer? Jesus, come in. Mm-hmm. Absent.
Vice Chair Thompson?
Aye.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
House Bill 2122 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Thompson, you want to carry this?
Sure.
Representative Thompson will carry this one. Okay, let's stand at ease for a moment, please.
That's every bill, isn't it? It's great in mind, that that's everything.
To allow Representative Thompson, Widener, and Kenny Geyer. Clem, did you miss one too?
Yeah, Clem missed the first one.
Yeah, he did.
Where did he go?
I wonder that all the time.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
To on
we already, yeah, I want to get the other people.
I'm staying right outside the
door. Yeah, I just want to get the vote.